That was so sweet when he was saying amen. Boy, that's the way to bring them up. When they're little. Yep, you're right. Before the world gets to them. Amen. I thought about all week what I was going to teach, and I had something, and I was looking and looking and looking, and all of a sudden it all changed. And that happens a lot, doesn't it? So this morning I want us to look at God's mercy and see it. Now, I understand that we live in the administration of grace, which is divine favor. God does things for us out of the love and goodness in his heart, not because we have earned it, because you can't earn anything from God. You just can't. What is, you know, come on. What kind of wage is he going to pay you for some little piddly thing we might do? No, because of God's goodness and greatness and his wonderful love, we live in the age of grace, divine favor. It's never by works, ever. Nothing you could ever do would be good enough for what he's given us. On the other hand, there's mercy. And sometimes we talk about mercy, but we don't really have an understanding of his wonderful mercy because it goes right along with grace. Paul says in the epistles, mercy and grace be unto your grace and peace. And they all go together. So mercy, I know, you know, there's some understanding of it as withholding merited judgment. Well, there's more to it than that. Mercy is a willingness to help the helpless. That would be me. You're in miserable condition. You're helpless. It includes God's forgiveness, healing, financial help. It is God's willingness to help and rescue. And it is always dependent upon his goodness. It's never, ever dependent on the person's deservedness. That's his mercy. His willingness to help when we are helpless. Now, I understand that we are not helpless. We have the word. But there are situations that come up in life that there's nothing you can do about it. It has to be God. It has to be his wonderful mercy and grace. So you may have gotten yourself into trouble. Anybody here like that? Or you may be a victim of something. So we're going to look at some places in the words where God showed his mercy upon Israel. And he did it time after time after time. And he did it to keep the bloodline going so that we could have the Savior, so that he could bring about the birth of Jesus Christ. So let's go to 2 Samuel 24. Because they really want us to see his mercy. I want us to understand what his mercy is in our lives and how wonderful his grace is and his mercy. 2 Samuel 24, verse 1. Now, we're going to do some reading, and I'm going to read pretty quickly because the reason for reading all this is just to give you a background of why his mercy was manifested, okay? And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. And Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they went through all these places and go down to verse 8. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. They'd been out numbering people. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Because David didn't do exactly what God told him to do. Joab told him one thing. David told Joab to do something else. And David's heart was smote. Does God ever smite your heart? Not smite it, but work in your heart to give you understanding of, I'm going to do something. I know it's not right. And God's just working and working and working to try to show you what to do. But no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. Verse 11. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, a prophet, not a seer. Go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come up unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? He's got good choices. Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him, God that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Have you ever been in a great strait? A lot of times. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies, his compassion, his pity on you. His mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. David knew his God's heart. And as many times as David made the wrong decision, God's mercies were always great. And David always, always turned back to God. The first thing we need to do, every day of our lives, every situation, turn to God. Every time. Because his mercies and his grace is great. And he'll come through. He did it for Israel time after time after time. Now, why would he not do it for a child? We are his children. We have Holy Spirit, God's habitation. His dwelling place is in me and you if you're born again. If you're not, I would probably consider getting born again. He would do the same thing for his children that he did for Israel. And sometimes we need his mercy because we can't even get to the grace, the divine favor. We need mercy. If you're laying in the hospital and you're too sick to pray and believe, you got to have some mercy and compassion from Almighty God to pull you out of it. I know that very well. Jay knows that. Michelle knows that. Probably all of us have a story of something like that where we were helpless. The believers were praying for us. But God in his infinite mercy and grace comes through for us every time when we allow him to. When we allow him to. Go to Nehemiah. Yeah, David said, let's get into the hands of God here and let's not fall into the hands of man. That's a good decision. That's a good choice. Nehemiah 1. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the Feast of Tabernacles, get your words right. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them, and it goes on, and they go down to verse 6. They're declaring the goodness of God here. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made... Nehemiah 9. Oh, did I say what? First one I met. Oh, my goodness. Show me some mercy. Have mercy on an old lady. Nehemiah 9:1. They're having the Feast of Tabernacles and what have you. And go down to verse 6. They're praising God. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worships thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abraham and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and founded his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, all these guys. I say to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the sea. And he showed signs and wonders from Pharaoh. God was doing all of these things, and they're acknowledging that. Verse 11, and thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps. Oh, that's a great idea. As a stone into the mighty waters. And he talks about how they led him by the cloud during the day, the pillar of fire at night, and all this. And 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spake us with them from heaven, and gave us. Look at all the things God did for them. This whole chapter is full of that. And 15, and gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger. Oh, that's a pretty ringtone. I thought an angel was playing music there for a minute. And gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou had sworn to give them. Now listen to this. After they declare and acknowledge all that God did, all of those mighty works, miracle after miracle, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. They hardened their hearts. Have you ever hardened your heart? Do you know what it means to harden your heart? You hear the word, you're presented with the word, but you don't believe it. You refuse to believe it or obey it. That's how you harden your heart. You harden your heart against the word. Sometimes when you hear the word, it kind of shakes you up because you got old crap in your heart, don't you? Old habits die hard. And you harden your heart to the word. You go to God and ask him to help you. When you realize what you're doing, and I think we all realize that, we're all mature enough in the word, that we realize when something's going on with us that's not right, you get in a funk. You ever been in a funk? That you just can't seem to, you're not getting it. And you know how good God is, you're born again. You've seen miracle after miracle after miracle in your life and the lives of all the believers that we know and love. But you're just kind of, your heart's not right. You're just not getting it. We go to God, you know why? Because it says right here, thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he never forsakes you. We heard that in the manifestations. We hear it all the time. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How much this morning did he tell us about? Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He told us at least in two manifestations that he gave the blood, the life of his only begotten son to have us as his children. He is a God that is ready to pardon. He's very gracious. He forsakes us not, thank God. Because if anybody deserved to be forsaken by God, it would be moi. A lot of times. And I'm sure we're all like that. And we all know it. And we can name times we've had like that. God never, ever gives up on you. Ever. Now, that doesn't give you a license to sin and harden your heart. It doesn't. But things happen in life. We have to understand. Things happen. Things that we don't want it to happen, but sometimes we walk into stuff and things happen. And it's not always pleasant to deal with. But God always is merciful. He has great compassion upon his children. He knows us. He has every hair on your head numbered. He knows you by name. You think, you know, God knows my name. And he hears me. And he has mercy and compassion on my life. So many, many, many times. Before I can even get to his grace, sometimes I need his mercy and compassion. Help me. Help me. My heart is not right. I'm in a funk here, God. Deliver me from this. Work within me to will and to do of your good pleasure. Have mercy, God. Have some compassion and help me. Isn't that great, God? What God did for them? Over and over and over. Unbelievable. So we could have the Christ. Go to Psalm 25. Verse 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. This is David, a man after God's own heart. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Like God was David was reminding God. You know I've blown it a few times. But God, remember, you're merciful and you're loving and you're very kind. So remember that about me, God, okay? You know, you have a personal relationship with God. You can talk to him however you want to. You're his child. Remember how your children would come up to you? Daddy, I need. Daddy, I want. Daddy, can we do this? Dad, you know, Daddy, show me this. Daddy, help me with that. Daddy, fix my bicycle. Daddy, do this. Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy. We can do that with God. He's our daddy. He is your daddy. Your daddy. Your papa. Your Abba. The same father that is the Father to Jesus Christ is your Father. We can go to him. God, I just need to be with you right now. I need to be in your presence. Help me. Psalm 51. I love the Psalms. Absolutely love David's heart. And he was a man after God's own heart. And look at that relationship that he had with the Almighty God. He knew God so well, didn't he? Because when he'd go to God, his heart for God was unbelievable. And he was not a perfect man. God, he had people killed, did this and that and the other. But he was a man after God's own heart because he always turned back to God. He always turned back to God. That's the key. God, I blew it. I need your mercy and your grace right now. between you and I, God. I need your mercy and your grace. You don't have to tell everybody else your sins or the time. You know what sin is? Sin's not believing what the word says. That's sin. It's not because you go get drunk. That's the fruit of the sin. The sin is you didn't believe what the word says not to. Right? Sin is just not believing. That's all. When you don't believe the word, doesn't mean you're going to, you know, just everyday little stuff where we just don't believe God. We just don't trust him. You know, that's all that is. It's no reason to condemn ourselves, no reason to roll around and pity ourselves and, my God, carry on and feel sorry for myself and all this. God said in the manifestations, and he says in the word, you stand before me holy and without blame, without, you're unblameable with him. You're righteous. You have everything that Christ has. For crying out loud, that's what we need to think. He sees you the same as he sees Jesus Christ. Now, I know religion doesn't teach that, and they never will, because they want a hellfire and damn you to hell for your sin. God says we stand unblameable and unreprovable. He's not going to come around and bonk you in the head. And nobody else should either. Anything you do or don't do, and sometimes sin is commission, sometimes it's omission. Sometimes you just fail to do, you know, what we need to do in life to be blessed and walk with God. And that's between you and the Father. But he has great mercy. He has compassion. He knows our weaknesses. He knows everything about you, Beth, that's weak and strong both. And he overlooks all the weaknesses and helps us with it because we have his word to go to. Life is so simple. It's not always easy. But it's always real, real simple, real simple. Where am I? Psalm 51, verse 1. What'd you say, Jay? Oh, thanks, Jay. You know, your mind starts to go first. Psalm 51, 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now we know in this administration of grace that Jesus Christ has already cleansed us. That's all taken care of. And we are righteous before God. But where might we be unrighteous? In our walk. Uh-huh. We do things in our walk. It says in 1 John, God, you know, his son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Is that amazing? We don't have to live like that. How many people in the world live in doubt, worry, and fear because of what they have done or not done? How many people go to bed at night regretting what they did that day? We can go to bed in peace because we have God and his mercy and his grace and his wonderful righteousness. What a God we have. Psalm 86. Psalms are just full of this. Full of it. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Listen to this. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. In other words, he puts up with us because he is full of compassion and gracious and plenteous, plenteous in mercy and truth. Isn't that beautiful? We should remember that verse. We should retemorize that verse, memorize it. We should think about these things. Think about these things. Lamentations 2. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Lamentations 2:22. This is great. This is absolutely great. If you read from verse 1, which we're not going to, there were so many calamities happening in this guy's life, it was pathetic. Then go down to verse 20. Or verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery. Where am I in 3? Yeah, that's where I want to be. I wrote the wrong number down. I'm sorry, guys. Start with verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I'm done in. I'm totally worthless. I'm totally helpless. This is horrible. My soul, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Oh my gosh. My soul hath him still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This and then I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The guy was in misery. I mean, he was miserable. Sounds miserable. And then he remembered, by the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Every single morning we start over. We start over with God every single morning. Yesterday's gone. I mean, yesterday's completely gone. Tomorrow, we're going to be dealing with something else. Today, his mercies and his faithfulness are great. Every morning when we get up, we got to remember, great is his faithfulness. It's not about us. It's all about him. And great is his faithfulness. No matter how the day goes, we have his mercy and his graciousness. Always, all the time. He is waiting to hear from us, waiting for me to call his name all the time. You never get voicemail with God. And he's not on Facebook. You don't have to look him up on your iPhone. He is waiting at his throne with mercy and graciousness and compassion. Okay, go to Hebrews 4, and we'll close there. Yeah, a little lamb. That little kid, what a good little boy. He's just so pleasant to have around. Hebrews chapter 4. All of those things that we read in the Old Testament lead up to this right here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. 14. Jay, I'm so glad you're here today, because otherwise...
We'd all be lost.
Yeah, we'd all be lost. I already am, apparently. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession... Should be confession, what we believe in. Let us hold fast to what we believe. Let us hold fast to what we believe. We've all been taught how to believe. We've all been taught what to believe. according to the word. Let us hold fast to that. Hold fast to his goodness and mercy and grace. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I translate as that stupidity, foolishness, all of those good words. But was in all points. He was in all points. Everything. Tempted like as we are. Yet he was without sin. What a savior, huh? Let us therefore, because of that, let us therefore come boldly, without fear, without doubt, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We go to that throne boldly. God, help me. I'm helpless here. I'm not believing. I'm not understanding. My heart isn't right. This is going on. That's going on. I'm helpless with it. There's nothing I can do. But I need your mercy. I need you to help me. And you find the grace, the divine favor. You go there to get the mercy, obtain the mercy. And he's got the grace there for the problem, the solution. You go to obtain mercy and find the grace. God, that verse should be so alive to us. Come boldly unto the throne, because Jesus Christ paid the price. It's done. Why do you think he said, it is finished? And if Jesus Christ said, it is finished, then by God, it's finished. Never, ever again do we have to walk with condemnation, guilt, shame, fear, doubt. We can come boldly because of his life to the throne of grace, to God Almighty's throne, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what is the time of need? Every day, all day long. Every day, all day long, it's a time of need, because we live in this world which the devil is the god of. And today, it's just getting worse and worse. We are confronted with everything. Every devilish thing that he can use to confront, he does. But we have the throne of Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the universe. We can walk right in that door, because God always has his door open to us. If he says, come to the throne, then we have the door to heaven to walk through to get to that throne, don't we? Because of Jesus Christ the Lord, who will be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There's a day coming. There's a day coming when we'll be standing before that throne completely whole. It is finished. We can go for mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.